The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited.
Her man look like he wanna fight. He doing nothing. Sports parents, can we have a moment? Can we have a conversation? A little chit-chat, powwow, if you will. Not all of you, but some of you and sometimes many of you are out of control. Absolutely off your rockers. I'm not sure what it is. My guess is it's the increasing prices of college. My guess is it's the my kid needs a scholarship in order to go to college and sports is the way to do it. So we are just going to absolutely lose our minds, be totally irrational when dealing with our kids and their high school sports careers. It's high school. I bring this up because over the last few days, we've been following a story out of Wanakee, Wisconsin. And bottom line, a family in Wanakee is suing a coach. Essentially, there's a lot of details, but essentially because their kid was cut from a team. There is a lawsuit now because a kid was cut. Now, we can have conversations about how overly litigious our society is as well. But in this particular instance, I'm just shocked that someone felt this was, Gabe, the reasonable recourse, the reasonable reaction to something that happens not just every year in high school sports, but every season over and over and over again to any number of athletes. So give us the details of what is going on in Wanakee with the coach being sued by a former athlete's parents.
So actually two coaches are being sued, the former Wanakee boys basketball coach and the current boys basketball coach. The former basketball coach, Dana McKenzie, who was there for like 20 years, had a lot of success. I remember having a couple of interactions with him when I was in Madison. Their new coach, Tyler Selk, who took over last year. According to court records and this story from the Wisconsin State Journal, they're being sued individually for violating the First Amendment and substantive due process rights of Jake Whalen, who is currently a senior at Wanakee, and his father, Mark Whalen. This lawsuit was filed on April 30th. They claim that Jake received reduced minutes while playing under McKenzie last season and then was cut by Selk following tryouts ahead of this past season that just completed with Wisconsin State High School basketball. And they're claiming it was in retaliation for Mark, the dad's, outspokenness against McKenzie. Mark was the leader of a group of parents who advocated for McKenzie's removal as Wanakee coach, which ultimately was successful as his contract was not renewed. And then Selk was hired this past season. So Jake played in a handful of games early his junior year. Playing time went down. The dad was very vocal about this and eventually thinks that his kid was cut from the team because he was very vocal, leading to the removal of Dana McKenzie and now going after Tyler Selk as well. I guess that's kind of the 10,000-foot view of what's going on.
Have you ever heard of anything like this, Joshy? Have you ever heard of a family suing a coach because they feel their child was unfairly cut from the team because of their interaction? Before you answer, to me, this reeks of a lack of self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
The father, and by extension, whomever else was involved in that, knows that they were kind of a PIA, right?
Clearly. Do they?
If you're
a PIA, do you know?
Well, maybe that's what I meant to say, because I said it lacks self-awareness.
Yeah.
And if you are grinding and grinding and grinding and grinding on an athletic department and a coaching staff, at what point is the only course of action for the coaching staff to protect their peace, to cut the kid? At what point is that like, hey, we've tried all these other things, and I don't know what they've tried, but I assume this was not the first thing that the team did, the first thing that the school did, the first thing the program did. But I'm okay with separating yourself from the toxicity if it means the kid, unfortunately, is the scapegoat.
Yeah, I mean, I've never heard of it. I'm sure it exists somewhere just because the society we live in is so litigious. I can't imagine this gets any credence in court. I can't believe it. I can't imagine it goes further than the issuing it and getting dismissed. To me, it seems quite obvious that two coaches just agree the kid's not good enough to be on the varsity team and getting minutes. If we were to take the rational approach to it, that's it. Now, you making a big stink probably makes them think twice. Hey, maybe I don't want this around, because you were, after your son stopped receiving minutes, you became an issue and got the previous guy fired. So instead of keeping him on the end of the bench and you telling me he needs more time and then trying to get me removed, I'm just not going to deal with it. There's another kid there who's going to show up, do his stuff. His parents are going to leave me alone. And he's going to play a few minutes each season. Not a lot, but it's just going to be easier.
Across the board, do you think that parents are good at recognizing where their kids are in the hierarchy in the pecking order? Or is it always going to be an inflated sense of self? Our kid is better than the next kid. Our kid should be playing. Like, to me, you know, I've said this a million times, kids know.
Kids know. When I don't know if the parents know.
But where's that disconnect? Because at some point, parents are kids. So you just lose that ability. You lose the ability to accurately assess where you are in the pecking order. That's crazy to me.
I think it's the same kids who think they should be playing over someone else are the parents who turn into that. Because I don't want to make a big, broad, general, sweeping statement about parents with athletes in high school and stuff like that. Plenty of people go to their kids' games. They don't play much and they're perfectly happy with it and it's normal. But there's also a lot of people, and we've all interacted with them. They think they're more valuable or better at what they do than literally everyone else's. And I think that's a simple story here.
Is there a possibility, though, that the kid was scapegoated, that there was a retaliation element to this from the new coaching staff? You know, and again, we could sit here and argue, and I think we should, about whether that's right or wrong. But doesn't the new coaching staff have it well within its rights to... Here's the thing I want to go back to. The new coaching staff is well within their rights to put together the best team. And unfortunately or fortunately, that team is also extended to the parents, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're putting together a good team. If you know that one of the parents have a history of toxicity that is likely going to infect the other parents, you know, as you're sitting there in the stands watching your kids play or not play, as the case may be, you know, like, that is something that you could protect your team from by simply cutting out the poison, by simply taking out the tumor,
yes.
Right?
Aaron Rodgers.
Don't they have that luxury? Don't they have that ability?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the same at the high school level than every level of sports.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a pain in the ass, but you're a superstar, guess what? Chances are you're going to get a little bit of longer of a leash. If you're just somebody who is going to be a role player on a bench, whether we're talking professional, college, or high school, and there's a lot of baggage that comes with that, whether it's your own baggage of not being a good teammate or a parent or whatever, that's just making life hell for everyone. Yeah, that's going to factor in when it comes at the end of the day. Like, that's going to factor in.
Correct me if I'm wrong. There is no law stating the 12 most talented kids have to make the team.
Correct. That's not how teams are built.
That's not how this works at all. There's plenty of talented people who lose their jobs, who don't get job offers. Like, there is nothing for this coaching staff to say this kid has to be on the team. There's no previous determination. There's no case history here. No precedent where the most talented have to be on the
team. Well, and let's go on the flip side of that, Joshy, because to your point, oftentimes coaches and general managers, to go even further, will build a team with the other thing in mind. Who's a hard worker? Who's a grinder? Who has a great mentality and mindset? And who can be somebody that infects some of the other players with those good qualities? They
Finances.
May not be. That's not exactly who I was thinking of, but they may not be the most talented athlete, but they bring other things to the table that they need for the recipe to make a good team. And so if you're going to understand, and if it seems like you can understand, that those kids will sometimes get opportunities, then you need to see it on the other side, which is if you have a bad attitude or if you're a parent who has a bad attitude, that certainly can affect the makeup of a team, and the coach is well within their rights to say, we don't want that around. The easiest way for us to keep you from affecting the dynamic that we are putting together is to eliminate you. And sorry if the kid got caught in that riptide, but be better. You know, and I know that's simple and it sounds Pollyanna-ish, but if you recognize that you are a toxic presence, and you're getting that, and your kid now is a victim of your toxicity, don't be toxic.
Some of these things in this lawsuit just make me chuckle. The suit alleges that Jake was cut, though he, quote, met every requirement for the team. And objectively speaking, he was a better player presently and historically than several boys who made the team. Like, who's making that objective, like, decision?
Yeah. Where's the objectivity?
Like, the fact that this is making the lawsuit, again, and that the suing under, like, basic misunderstanding of what the First Amendment grants people. I don't know if they're trying to, like, because Wanakee is a public high school, so, like, that's an extension of the government. Therefore, the dad's free speech was trampled because this is a government entity. Like, it seems like a huge stretch and really a disconnection from reality to bring a lawsuit like this.
I mean, think of the flip side, and it happens in professional sports and a lot in high school and college. There's, like, players who end up being kind of the team mascot because they're a great person to have around. And they, like, work really hard. They help their teammates, and they're supportive of everyone. Like, you know, the chanting for the last guy on the bench to get on the floor in a blowout.
And then when that guy gets in and he makes the bucket and everybody goes crazy because they know
that this is like the direct opposite of that. It's somebody who clearly wasn't getting enough playing time, and now you're a problem because of everything involved with
it. I actually think there are school districts that make you sign a contract as a parent before a season starts. And on that are a bunch of things that are basically like, you know, positive attitude, encouraging our players, and not, you know, it's very easy, guys, to sit in the stands and offer positive reinforcement to high school athletes. But for whatever reason, it is also very easy for some people to do the opposite. It is very easy for people to, you know, armchair quarterback their kids on the field. And I got to tell you, I don't ever see an instance where that helps. I don't ever see an instance where the kid is like, oh, yeah, I did suck on that play. You know what? And I'm glad that my parents shouted it out to the whole stands for everybody to hear it. So now everybody knows that I sucked on that play. I don't understand how that helps. So I like the idea of signing a contract. I like the idea of at the beginning of a season, you put your name on a piece of paper with a date that says I will adhere to these rules and these standards that you expect from us as parents. And if we don't, I understand that there may be consequences that affect my kid. What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but again, like, that's just, it's not worth anything.
I just don't understand, Gabe, and maybe you can help me understand this. At what point did the dad think that suing for all of these things, and like you said, there's some other minutia in there with, like, camps and stuff and running them, and, you know, that maybe led to the dismissal of the initial coach. At what point the dad just didn't say, man, I messed up. I went too far. I'm down this. My kid got cut, and it was probably in direct relation to my behavior.
He realizes that because that's what they allege in the lawsuit, that the kid got punished for the dad's behavior. They're alleging that in the lawsuit. That's what they've put in there.
Yeah, I mean, this is not going to be... I don't know this kid at all or the circumstances at school, but you can't... Your dad can't sue because you didn't make the team.
Yeah, you still got like a month left of school here, man.
That's
like,
not going to go well.
This is not good for anybody.
And when you go to college and people Google your name, what do you think is going to come up? This is putting that kid in such a bad situation that he had, from what I can tell, as it's presented in the lawsuit, virtually nothing to do with any of it. It was all somebody else getting way too over their skis, getting way too involved in high school athletics for children. And now here we are, where your dad's suing somebody because you're not getting enough minutes on a high school basketball team.
800-990-3776. I imagine there's a lot of sports parents out there that have reaction to this or have thoughts about this. 800-990-3776. Let us know what you think about the situation going on in Wanakee, Wisconsin, where a family is suing two coaches, not just the one, but two coaches, claiming retaliation, claiming that their son was cut from the team because of behavior by the parent. You mentioned, Gabe, led a campaign to get the first coach fired, had been very vocal about it, and then they watched their kid's minutes decrease to the point where he is no longer on the team.
Does it state in there, or do you know, Gabe, are the two coaches connected at all? Like, was it one of his assistants?
I think so. Okay. So it doesn't explicitly say that, but there is at one point, apparently before the season last year, Selk before, like decisions on players being cut. Selk allegedly said, "We got our boat tipped over last year, but no water got in. I feel bad for McKenzie, but I am still here. Either you are all in or all out, and we're going to get rid of the toxic parents," was a speech that he gave his team.
Lots of reaction rolling in already. Let's go to Kevin in the 847. He says, "While I don't know if it's retaliation, this is a consequence for the dad being an asshat. When I was a high school coach in our parents' meeting, we always told the parents, if you want to talk about your son's lack of playing time, be prepared to hear the truth about them." Let's see. "Academics and attendance are always a huge factor when setting my lineup for my players." Matthew weighing in when we were talking about some of the other things. It's not just necessarily who are the most talented kids. There are other things that play a role in who are members of the team. Michael saying most sports make you sign a waiver in a contract that states inappropriate behavior can result in reduced playing time. And John in the 414 weighing in saying the kid was cut because he brings bad energy and is a horrible teammate. This is evident by his parents' absurd actions. I'm not sure if the kid himself brings bad energy, but you could argue by extension, because it's probably a package deal. You can't have Johnny without, you know, Johnny Senior. That is the bad energy, right? It's almost like he's wearing a backpack of bad energy, and that backpack is his father. Let us know what you think about this story out of Wanakee. It is crazy. It is developing. We just noticed it over the weekend. Wanted to get some more details before we brought it to you guys for a reaction. 800-990-3776.
You know how much I love X-Golf and American Family Field. Great place to go. Just work on your game because of the state-of-the-art simulators that they have, giving you as much feedback as you could possibly want. Maybe you want to get a lesson as well. But what's also great about X-Golf and American Family Field during the Brewers season is you can now book your sim time and purchase your single-game tickets all in one place. It's the Brewers single-game ticket website, so that means you can be enjoying all the amenities and luxuries of X-Golf and American Family Field, all while watching a first-place baseball team. That's right. Great food and beverage options. Great views of the field. You have Bernie Slide right there as well. And speaking of Bernie Slide, let's say you do book some sim time at X-Golf and American Family Field. You're playing around at one of the many golf courses they have on their simulators, and you make a hole-in-one. If that happens, you and someone else get to go down Bernie's Slide. That's right. Make an ace at X-Golf and American Family Field. Go down Bernie's Slide. Find out more at xgolfamfamfield.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I mean, pumpkin seeds.
No. Little suckers. They might be. What did you say before, Jen?
Sesame but those seeds. Are white. Like, yeah.
No,
white.
These aren't white. No, this isn't on the outside. This is on the inside.
Seeds on the inside.
Oh, yeah. So you've got some sort of like
scrotum.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Woo, baby. Do people have thoughts about this situation in Wanakee, Wisconsin, where the family is suing not one but two coaches, saying that their First Amendment rights and were violated?
Yes. First Amendment and substantive due process rights of Jake Whalen, a senior at Wanakee, and his father, Mark Whalen.
Ugh. I feel real bad for Jake Whalen. I really just do. Is this the result of the entitlement generation where everyone gets a trophy? I'm going to complain and then sue if my kid doesn't get playing time. That from Ian in the 262. There is a lot of reaction. Kevin weighing in saying, beyond the fact that this is an irrational parent trying to live vicariously through poor Johnny, I think it's an unforeseen byproduct of NIL. Dad believes son is better than he is, and because of that, he thinks that Johnny will get more money for his talent when the reality is he probably cannot.
I'll push back on that. If you played high school sports, or if you have a kid like Jen does right now playing high school sports, I mean, this is the first time I know of, at least in this state, maybe it's happened elsewhere, where it's gotten to the point where a lawsuit has come up over playing time. But you know who the annoying parents are. Like I remember dealing with that with the different in high school, because you want your kid to get a scholarship or all these other different things. I don't think this is an NIL byproduct.
But to be fair, I also remember in high school dealing with the young lady on the volleyball team who had no business being on the volleyball team, but her parents donated $100,000 every year to the school. Mm-hmm. So guess what she got? To be on whatever varsity team she wanted to be on.
Correct.
And that's not teaching the right lessons to kids either, is it? I remember that vividly from high school.
I mean, still teaching the lesson of these things that happen. Yeah. Turns out if you have or your family has money, you're going to be getting privileges that others don't.
Look at the end of college benches. There's going to be a lot of kids who have a lot of money and their dads have things like planes or forms of transportation. That's just much like in work and life. You see somebody's son has a job they probably don't deserve. That's also a fact of life.
800-990-3776. The situation with the dad suing the school and the athletic department is ridiculous. More than anything, I feel bad for the kid. Can you imagine what it must be like for him? That from Travis in Milwaukee. Let's go out to the phone lines. We've got Debbie in Cedarburg waiting patiently on the line. Debbie, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning talking about the situation with the Wanakee boys basketball team.
Yeah, if it is the father's fault, they should have just banned the father from coming to the games. We've had that happen. You signed the contract at the beginning of the year. And, you know, if you're obnoxious in the stands, then you shouldn't be allowed to come and watch. It's that simple. The kid could have played, and the dad didn't have to come. Everything's broadcasted now. You can watch him at home.
So let me ask you a question, Debbie. How do they enforce that?
The father is told that he cannot come. And, you know, and then the people, I mean, you know, just like Gabe said, you know which parents, you know, are obnoxious.
But also, I think you could, Debbie, enforce that maybe at your home games. But if you're going on the road, like, DeForest has their own thing going on in that conference, right? They have no idea that this guy's been annoying at one, you know what I'm saying? So I think road games would be tough to enforce there.
You know, the father knows. Anybody that sees him there is going to know that he can't come. I don't know. You'd have to have, you know, really a lot of nerve to show up afterwards. But this way, the kid isn't affected.
Yeah, you know? The thing that makes me interested, and thanks, Debbie, for the call, is I'm led to believe that he just wasn't the level to be playing on the team, is what it seems like, because there's no indication that he was a problem at games. It appears all the things behind the scenes and the maneuvering to get people removed and then making a big stink about their child not having enough playing time, which resulted in people getting fired. Like, to me, I don't know that I would presume this guy probably wasn't great to sit next to at his son's games. But it seems like, based on two coaches not wanting him on the team, that it just, he wasn't good enough. There's plenty of kids who get cut every year. And as sad as that is, and how much that stinks for that person, that's just how sports work.
And to be honest with you, you guys, we've talked about this on this show. The reality in those situations should be to use the experience as a lesson. You know, that not everything is going to go your way. That there are going to be times when people outwork you or are more talented than you. Or, as you mentioned, Joshy, their daddy has more money than your daddy and has earned, or not earned, but has been given a certain privilege that you are not given. And those are good life lessons, right? To be able to handle adversity, to be able to manage when things don't go your way, to be able to carry on, to be able to take a lesson out of it. Like, those are all things that you can, and I think from a parenting standpoint, push onto your children or encourage your children to recognize versus, this is so unfair. We are being bullied against. Bill weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. College coaches do pay attention to the parents of prospective athletes, and they will not take kids, no matter how talented they are, with parents that are toxic. Steve Drake weighing in saying, I wonder if daddy will sue the prom queen for not going on a date with his son, who is objectively more handsome currently and historically and charming than other guys she has dated. Steve, appreciate the humor this morning. That is very funny, because where does it stop?
Right. With lawsuits, don't there have to be damages? And can we prove there's damages? Or is this because it's a public institution and that's why they're trying it?
So I don't think, based on what I've read and continue to dive, I don't think that the school district or athletic department are part of the lawsuit. I think it's just specifically the two coaches, the former head coach Dana McKenzie and their current head coach Tyler Selk, and they are saying the damages here, the suit alleging that Jake was cut, again, we went through that, suit also alleges that Selk knew that cutting Jake would, quote, be devastating and robbed him of one chance to play his favorite sport for his high school. And hurting Jake Whalen would also hurt Mark Whalen, causing sadness and disappointment to Jake and emotional harm to Mark. Selk intended to cause Jake Whalen to resent Selk intended to cause Jake Whalen to resent his father because it was Mark Whalen's speech that resulted in Jake Whalen being cut from the team.
No.
That is all quotes from the lawsuit.
It is Mark Whalen's behavior, again, to the caller or the texter who said there are consequences to your behaviors. If you choose to raise a stink and oust a coach, there may be consequences, right? Like that's all part of what you buy into. That's all part of what you recognize when you choose to do something like that. And sometimes the consequences be damned because you think you're doing the right thing. And maybe that's what Mark would say. We were doing the right thing by getting that coach fired, da, 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 da. But you have to recognize that there will be unintended consequences as well. And it sounds like Jake's participation in the high school basketball team, which by the way, in 2024, if Jake is really, really, really that good of a basketball player, isn't he playing on a club team somewhere? Doesn't he have an AAU team that he's playing on somewhere? I know high schoolers that don't even play on their high school teams because they play at that higher club level and they feel like it's a waste of time to play at the high school level. Am I missing that whole element to this?
No. I don't think you missed any of that, no.
Did this guy sue these coaches because his kid hates him? Because that's what it sounded like. The sneaking in of making him try to resent, what is the language there, or in hopes to resent his father?
He intended to cause Jake Whalen to resent his father because it was Mark Whalen's speech that resulted in Jake Whalen being cut from the team. McKenzie also intended to drive a wedge between Mark Whalen and Jake Whalen.
Do you think that maybe you'd look at yourself and go, I'm the one driving the wedge between me and my son?
My behavior is contributing to
yes.
it. Yes. I have gone off the deep end. I have reacted poorly. I think that is how this probably needs to be interpreted by the parent. And it's unfortunate. But I started this whole thing 30 minutes ago. Like, can you just check yourself, parents? Can you recognize when you're being ridiculous? I understand competitiveness. You're not going to find anybody more competitive than me, okay? I want to win. I want my kids to win. I want their teams to win. But I also want them to be good people, fully developed, well-rounded, be able to handle adversity. If something doesn't go their way, I want them to be able to deal with it, find the silver lining in it. Like, I think that these parents need to recognize that even though they are trying to do right by their kids, they're actually not. And that's where I'm hopeful that now this thing getting a little more attention, being talked about more universally, is starting these conversations and maybe having some parents look at themselves in the mirror. Are you all doing things that maybe make things tougher for your kids? Is your behavior or your competitiveness or your desire to make sure that Johnny has everything go his way, is that actually hurting Johnny in the long run? Or hurting his relationships with teammates and coaches? Just a thought. Put it out there. Think about it. I'm hopeful that that's what this situation does going forward. If you love sports betting, and I hope you're not doing it on high school sports, you have to make your way to the sportsbook at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. It has everything a sports fan could ever want and more. Get the ultimate experience with dozens of self-service betting kiosks, seating for more than 200 people, a broadcast booth, first-class bar, a new restaurant, The Kitchen, VIP deck, and a video wall that's over 2,000 square feet. We were at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook last week. It is stunning. And I heard they had a great weekend out there with all of the events going on. If you're in a rush, they have free 20-minute reserved parking spaces near the Skywalk. They have really figured it all out. It's a new era of sports betting at Pottawatomie, so get in on the action. Head to the new Pottawatomie Sportsbook at the Pottawatomie Casino Hotel.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Can I be Chuck Woolery?
Yeah, Tiny Mike.
I mean,
Mike. Average.
I mean,
no, I want to ask the questions. Tiny Mike.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I don't want to spend the whole show on this, but I do want to put a bow on it. Ron and the Key weighing in saying, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. I don't care how wrong the dad may be. If decisions on the kids' playing time were retribution, it is wrong. End of story. Retribution is tough to prove. It's tough to prove the motivation for why the kid is no longer on the team. But the conversation we were just having during the break was, coaches can put players on teams for all sorts of reasons. Yes, a lot of it is production and talent, but there are players who make teams because they have a 4.0 and they have a great work ethic and they hustle their brains out at practice. And the coach knows that they're only going to play 5 minutes of the game, but the example that they set in practice sets a tone for everybody else. And the guys who are more talented see that and refuse to be outworked by the hustle guy. And that's why the hustle guy is on the team. So if you can put guys on a team for any sort of reason, I think you can keep guys off a team for any sort of reason.
It's not as if this kid went from starting to not playing. In this article from the Wisconsin State Journal, they note that he played in 10 of the first 17 games as a junior. So that's not anywhere, that to me is screaming, not a part of the regular rotation. Maybe he got in some of those games just to see what he could do if he got into a game situation. Maybe he got into some because, well, they were blowouts. And then he played in one of the final 9 games, which would make sense to me because now you're ramping up for the postseason if you're not a part of the regular rotation. Again, once you hit WIAA state tournament time, just like every other place, the rotation's probably going to shrink down. So this isn't an example of, I think, a kid his junior year who was a regular starter, regular part of the rotation, didn't seem like that was really a part of the equation to me, looking at the raw numbers.
Occam's razor would lead us to believe that there are two coaches here that are in agreement with an objective stance that he's just not as good as the other players on the team.
Yeah, which is the simplest explanation is often the explanation. Right. I also want to make sure I'm clear. I'm not saying that you can discriminate against people for arbitrary reasons, but it clearly in this instance, there is an example of a potential toxicity that the coach would be trying to protect his team from. Having that kid on the team, I think that he is well within his rights to say, and again, I'm not saying that he is saying this. I'm saying he would be well within his rights to recognize that's a toxic. We don't want it infecting our team. The easiest way to keep that toxic away is to keep this kid off of the team and go from there. I really think as much as it sucks for the kid, and we are all in agreement, it sucks for the kid to be put in this situation that he is currently in, I think the coach is well within their right. If, in fact, that is what led to the decision. Josh, you're even saying this could be more performance-based than we know. We do want to move on, guys, because speaking of strange stories out of the sports world, who read Murphy Takes Five? I never know where the S goes. Murphy's Take Five?
Yeah, nope, that's
Murphy
not it.
Murphy Takes Five.
There you go.
Murphy Take Fives. Like high fives.
High fives. Just going around the office.
Mark Murphy detailed his draft story in the most recent Murphy Takes Five, where he takes five questions on Packers.com. I sent it to you last night, Gabe, because I was like, this is wild. I didn't know that teams back in the day would essentially sequester players.
Like, I mean, sequestering is kind of a nice way to put it.
Kidnap
feels
players?
A little feels like
they hostage.
They feels like they went up to the line of kidnapping and stopped short, but they got really close, like really close to kidnapping.
So, do you have the article in front of you? I don't want to read it verbatim, but essentially, Mark Murphy details about how he. Washington Redskins, so the team he ended up being on. Called him and said, we want to draft you, but we want you to come to D.C. We're going to put you up in a hotel. We're going to take you on a tour of the city. Meanwhile, pre-cell phone era, Mark Murphy had five different teams that actually wanted to draft him. By the end of the draft, no one drafted him because the Redskins were never going to actually draft him. They offered him
undrafted rookie contract.
Undrafted rookie contract. If he had been drafted, he would have made more money. And there were five teams that had called his house that day and told his then girlfriend, now wife, these teams wanted to draft you, but because you weren't here, they couldn't.
Well, so I don't know if he would have been drafted. Six teams did call. They wanted to sign him after he was undrafted.
Sign him, yes.
They wanted to sign him after he went undrafted. He ultimately decided to stay with Washington, even though he did not like the way that he was treated, because they were the only one who wanted him as a safety, and he wanted to keep playing safety.
So we were talking earlier about Alex Magoo switching from quarterback to wide receiver, and they wanted him to switch to a different position, and he wanted, because of his comfort level at the safety position, to stay at safety, and lo and behold, he ended up a Washington I almost said commander, which is not what it was.
They offered me a 2-year contract, $19,000, $21,000, with a $2,500 signing bonus. He said I should take a minute, read through the contract. This is the coach of Washington at the time. He then turned to his assistant and said that if I didn't sign the contract, they should call the safety from Oklahoma that they liked so much.
Right, right. So then they were like, well, if you don't want to be here, we got another guy who does. So.
Just turning up the heat on a kid who doesn't have representation.
Doesn't have a pot to piss in. Doesn't have a pot to piss in, right? Like, he's thinking, I got this great trip to Washington, D.C. because I'm going to be a member of the Washington football team. And basically, they just like... They basically kidnapped him. They drove him around D.C.
Yeah, during the draft.
During the NFL draft, so he didn't have access to a phone. He could not field any calls. He could not be drafted by any other team. This is insane to me. I can't believe we haven't heard this story before. I read it and sent it to Gabe with the eyeball emoji. Like, this is wild.
They put me in a van with four other college players. We drove to Washington, D.C., about a 45-minute drive. They gave us a nice driving tour of the city that took us to a great restaurant in the city for lunch. No cell phones back then. The driver of the van kept stopping and going to phone booths. Like, it's just crazy. Just, yeah, hop in the van. Oh, who cares if the draft's going on? Don't worry about that. That's not important.
Because, again, we want to make sure we're clear on this. They had assured him... they were going to draft him,
correct,
which is why he assumed it was just basically getting a jump start on his tenure with his future team. So again, it all worked out. I believe Murphy does say that in his answer. It all worked out. But you cannot tell me that is not one of the wilder stories from the NFL draft process.
The NFL prohibited teams from flying players into their facilities during the draft shortly after my experience.
It's a something, workaround then. Yeah. It's a bit of a loophole that they found.
My favorite part, though, is at the end. So this was George Allen was running Washington at the time. Bruce Allen, who I'm sure you've heard of, Chewy has had connections with Bruce Allen, as a longtime executive in the NFL. A few years ago, Murphy said he asked Bruce Allen, who was George's son, if he knew what his father did to me during the draft. He said yes, and that I should stop complaining because it worked out pretty well for me.
Unbelievable. Absolutely insane. I actually have more respect for Mark Murphy now, knowing that story, knowing that he dealt with that to get into the league, than I did prior to knowing that story. That is wild. And let's just be thankful that in the year of our Lord, 2024, you are no longer allowed to kidnap athletes to keep them from getting drafted and then putting them on your team.
Can you
at
imagine
a discount
if the
price?
Packers just liked one of their sixth round picks? All right, we're going to get him to Green Bay. We're going to put him in a van. We're just going to give him a tour. Okay, multiple tours of Green Bay because it's, you know, not a very big city. Got to drive him around multiple times. And that way, nobody can get a hold of him. Unbelievable.
Just the most insane thing. If you haven't gotten a chance to read Murphy Takes Five, it is, of course, on Packers.com.
You never know what you're going to get in these things.
Honestly, box of chocolates over there.
There wasn't even, like, free agency at this point, right? Like, once you were signed to a team, you were just kind of stuck there?
Correct.
So, you are now kidnapped, and technically, you could just be forced to be there forever.
Yeah, until you retired. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, free agency wasn't really a thing in the NFL.
That's bad.
Until they cut you. Until they decided they did not want you anymore.
Really good stuff there from Mark Murphy on his monthly column, Murphy Takes Five. All right, guys, your home, your future, our priority. Your home is more than just a house. It is your future. And Great Midwest Bank prioritizes your dream, ensuring your mortgage process is smooth and stress-free. You know, there's lots of stressors in the home buying process, but your mortgage should not be one of them. Apply for your home mortgage loan at Great Midwest Bank, and you will experience a state of banquility when you find out how easy the process is. Make sure you go to greatmidwestbank.com to get started on a home mortgage loan.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ryan and McGuanago weighing in. Hey, if you find something that sucks for 25 years, you hold on to that.
Yeah, that is a very good point.
Because usually the sucking only happens before you get married, and then the sucking just stops.
We're going to get fired.
Yeah. On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Have you been to Aria, the acclaimed restaurant inside St. Kate the Arts Hotel yet? You should make it your next dinner destination. It is nestled on the second floor of St. Kate. It is an artful dining experience that captivates with its culinary creativity, delighting in its offering of artisanal American cuisine. The restaurant transcends tradition and leans into the realm of playful and inventive flavors, so come and experience the magic of Aria, where every bite is a work of culinary artistry. Learn more by going to their website, aria@stkate.com. That's aria@stkate.com. With a one or a two, been a heck of a ride, but I'm thinking it's time to grow. So does this mean we gotta hold baseball till tomorrow? Baseball glove?
I mean, if you're an adult, don't take a baseball glove to the game.
You're
there.
All done.
End of rant. Give me the truncated version.
He's like, I don't even need a full 15-minute segment. I got 15 seconds. Don't do it. Did that really bother you?
Well, no, if you're an adult taking a baseball glove to a game, just, you know, you got to reconsider some life choices.
Girl, Peter Pan.
What if you have a kid in tow?
Yes, acceptable.
Yeah, because if you got to... So the only way if you were an adult, before they put up the netting, down the lines, sure, where it's like all... Yeah.
Hot shot.
Yeah. You got to have a glove to protect yourself. I get that. But now the netting extends all the way down, so you don't really need a glove at a baseball game if you are an adult. If you're a kid, yeah, absolutely. If you're an adult, they're not pulling you out of the stands to play center, man. Ain't happening.
But what if you're in a prime spot to catch either a foul ball or, in this guy's case, a home run ball?
What you got hands for, baby?
God gave you two
of them.
What
are you doing? You making some dough over there? You making a pizza?
You got to, you know.
Woo! Woo!
Got two hands. Try to catch the ball.
What if you can't?
It sucks.
Yeah. See, to me, part of it is self-awareness. This guy knows he can't catch with his hands, so he brought his glove, and he ended up catching a home run ball.
Self-awareness doesn't seem to be this guy's forte.
Is self-awareness the Pee Wee's word of the day here on the show?
Yeah,
So the guy did catch the home run ball, but then it says here, acted like a fool after catching it.
He was like waving his arms, fist pumping, going crazy.
He's excited. Yeah. Why does this bother you
guys? You call it Gary Sanchez dinger.
Get over it.
I've never caught a dinger.
Either have I.
No, neither have I.
So how do you know how you would act if you caught one?
I know I'm an adult. Yeah, I know myself.
Sounds like you're no fun.
Catch it.
I'm a fun guy.
Hold it up. Find the nearest kid.
Yeah.
End of sequence.
You need to put that on a card and hand it out to people at the ballpark. This can be your calling game, right? You could be the guy that says, rules.
Yeah.
No gloves if you're over what age? 16? 15? 18?
I will say, if you're driving yourself to the game, can't bring
a glove. Come on. Chase is 15. I think he'd still want to bring a glove. Yeah. Again, if you're sitting in prime home run catching spots.
Sure, but I'm just saying, the minute he starts taking himself to games... That's when the line is, that's when you cross the lines.
A little bit. 18, 19. Nope. If you're a teenager, you can still bring a glove.
License. It's license is the way to go.
What if it's vote?
No.
Why can't we compromise?
No, I'm unwilling to budge. I don't know how to make it more clear.
It's very obvious, but I thought we were negotiating here.
No.
I don't know where you got that idea.
You know what you are? You're the Washington football team, and I'm Mark Murphy just riding around in a van right now. You're driving this bus, man. I didn't know.
Yeah, I mean, if you take Chase to the game, yeah, sure, he can bring the glove. But the second you start going to the game by yourself, nope. It's not the way that works.
I would refuse to sit next to somebody who is wearing a glove.
You are such a liar.
I wouldn't go in with
them. There's no. Oh, I thought you were saying you end up sitting next to somebody who has a glove.
Oh,
I
just laugh at him and point at him. No, if it was somebody with me, no, I'm not going with you. Either
keep it in the car?
Yeah. Put it in the car or you're sitting by yourself.
You just see Joshy rolls up, picks up Eric's name. Name's got the glove. Joshy just drives away. Just leaves name sitting on the side of the road.
Lock the doors. Let's keep going.
Hey, you better be careful. You might need to sleep on name's couch at some point, and he's not going to forget.
Got an extra bedroom now. I can get even further away.
Will D and Tosh is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great one, everybody.